You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. So today we're talking about cheat days. That's right, the special loophole that allows you to eat the foods that you want and still see results in the gym. Even if you're eating well throughout the week and you skimp on the weekends and have some cheat meals, you can be negatively affecting your metabolism, your gut health, and your long-term mental health. So how is what you're eating affecting your long-term health? That's what we're going to be talking about today with a special guest, Blair Anderson. We will be discussing ideas around nutrition, gut health, energy levels, and some intuitive strategies you can use. So welcome, Blair.
Hello, how are you? I am a holistic nutritionist as well as a nutrition coach. So I have a little business called Busy Bee Nutrition. And right now I'm offering one-on-one coaching, and I'm working specifically with women to gain their energy back using more like intuitive eating strategies and a kind of plant-focused and food as medicine approach. My background's in more holistic nutrition. So I had gone to just kind of a classic nutrition program for my undergrad and just found that there was a lot of questions I still had around, you know, what the properties were of food and how it could heal, which kind of led me to the school I ended up going to for my grad school. So I went to the National University of Natural Medicine, where I was introduced to things like the gut microbiome and more intuitive eating strategies and things like that. And so I'm really passionate about using that food as medicine approach to improve things like your mood and your digestion. And I think the one-on-one programs that I do are just really beneficial, because I think that that's where the real habit change can happen when you're working with someone one-on-one.
When we talk about, you know, nutrition and trying to eat healthy and some of those things, it seems like there is sugar in absolutely everything. You know, even when you go to get condiments or other things like that. And I know I've looked on your Instagram and you do some really great little snippets on there of different ways to add nutrition into your diet or change things out. Like I know Primal Kitchen was one for you that you were using. Mm-hmm. And sugar, you know, as we all know, decreases the good bacteria that we have within our GI tract. And so when we talk about those cheat days or high calorie days, whatever somebody likes to call it, usually those have higher sugar, higher fat most of the time. There's this misconception, I think, in some of the fitness industry where the fitness and the nutrition haven't always overlaid and worked together in that. So I love that you're doing the whole nutrition and that we get to talk about it here with our guests. So talk a little bit more about the intuitive strategy of nutrition and what does that really look like?
Yeah, well, intuitive eating is this whole concept of reconnecting your mind to your body to recognize your hunger and fullness cues. So they actually have like a few principles of intuitive eating. And some of them involve just kind of relaxing and focusing on the moment, ways to identify what hunger and fullness feels like again. How to be fully present during a meal, and then how this optimizes digestion and just our overall health. And, you know, the reason I use intuitive strategies is because I think a lot of times we tend to eat in a way that is guided not by our body's biological signals. You know, so for example, with cheat days, you know, some people might decide, hey, on, you know, Saturdays, those are my cheat days, and that's when I can eat anything I want. And when you're doing something like that, you're not really paying attention to maybe what your body actually wants and needs in those moments. And we see that also with things like meal timing, you know, eating by the clock. So, you know, I eat at 8 a.m. every day and 6 p.m. for dinner. And rather than paying attention to whether or not we are actually hungry or full, or maybe we need extra fuel because we didn't a vigorous workout that day and things like that. So I think those strategies really pull us back in to paying attention to us and our biological signals.
Especially when it comes to those cheat days, because it totally has this counterintuitive effect when you're having more, you know, trans fats or more sugars into your diet, what that's doing is that's creating those sugar cravings and that unstable blood sugar, and really having a negative impact on your mood, which makes you cranky, which then makes you want more bad food. So it seems, you know, after working so hard throughout the week and then just kind of almost ruining your progress on that Saturday. But what most people, I think, focus on is just the physical look of someone and not necessarily what that means long term. So when we talk about nutrition and food, you know, what kinds of things can we really discuss with how it affects our long term health and our gut health in specific when we're not eating the right types of nutritional foods?
There's definitely some long term impacts, especially when we eat foods that are high in sugars and bad fats and things like that, that we can experience over time. And they can kind of act like silent killers, they say. You know, it's something that you might not experience right away, but it can affect you in the long term. And like you've mentioned, how our health is so interlinked with our gut health, things like simple carbohydrates. So when I'm talking about simple carbohydrates, I'm talking about simple sugar. So just regular sugar, things that are manufactured to basically be a concentrated sweet bomb. And while like those types of things like sugar or fruit juice or sweetened drinks like soda or an energy drink can give us a quick burst of energy, they ultimately are going to lead to a crash. So not only are we going to experience those extreme energy highs and extreme energy lows, but they can also lead to weight gain because sugary foods that are void of things like fiber and good fats that actually make us feel full, if we don't have that in the food, then we can just easily mindlessly eat a food that's high in sugar and high in some fats that aren't great for us. Because it's not providing much for us in terms of satiation. So that can lead to weight gain. But then the other thing is, when it comes to sugar in particular, is just its effect on the microbiome. And our gut microbiome is really reliant on complex carbohydrates. So things that are more in their whole form, like fruits and vegetables and whole grains, because it contains different types of fiber that actually feed our gut bacteria, which helps create a nice variety of bacteria in our gut, which is really great for improving our immune system, preventing inflammation and things like that. But once we get into eating a diet or eating a lot of things in abundance that have a lot of those simple sugars, and then maybe like highly processed foods. So things you find at McDonald's or in a lot of the aisles of the grocery store, they can be really harmful to our gut, and that can cause a lot of issues.
Yeah. And that's really why I wanted to talk about this. I was talking with a friend of mine who is big into fitness, and he is a huge fan of cheat meals, because he says it keeps him on track. And I think that there are definitely people out there that feel that same way, especially when they're looking at a weight loss journey. But, you know, that's why I really wanted to talk today about this. And I'm so glad that you're on, because, you know, some of the things that you touched on, like chronic inflammation, you know, when we talk about chronic inflammation, not only for the gut health, but for brain health, when you see that chronic inflammation for your brain health, it really speeds up the aging process and just that atrophy that happens to the brain cells, which puts you at higher risk for things like Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's over time. Mm-hmm. You know, these things that we don't really think about when we think about the just physical aspects of going to the gym and having a cheat day, and I still look okay, so I must still be okay, but that doesn't really show inflammation. And I know for a lot of the clients that I work with, inflammation is a huge concern as they start getting older. You know, what are your thoughts on nutrition and a person's ability to stave off things like depression, anxiety, or if somebody's struggling with those, what would you suggest from a nutrient standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great question and great thing to bring to your audience, because nutrition plays a huge role in mental health, and it really is all linked to our gut health. You know, we see a lot of correlations with things like childhood traumas and how it impacts our gut and how that later leads to anxiety and depression over time. We see it with diets that are very minimal in terms of the types and variety of food. Like, for example, we'll see it with people, especially kids that are eating like the white food groups. So things like French fries, chicken nuggets, like basically foods that are void of color, like, you know, from our fruits and vegetables.
Right.
We find that they have higher levels of anxiety and depression, and then also issues with focus and things like that. And because, as I mentioned, like what we're feeding ourselves is going to feed our gut bacteria. And so there's a few things that will actually feed our bacteria in a good way that'll promote diversity in our gut, and then also help kind of do the jobs it needs to do. So you mentioned the enteric nervous system, which many people might think of it as the gut-brain connection or that gut-brain access.
Right.
And through that access, the gut and the brain can talk to each other. So, for example, like one way to think of how the gut and brain talk to each other is like if the brain is perceiving a threat, you know, like they say, if a tiger's chasing you or whatever, it's going to trigger the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight response, which is going to completely shut down our digestion because we don't need to digest anything in that moment. We need all the blood in our extremities to fight or run away from whatever's going on. So that's
Right.
kind of what we're talking about when we are talking about the enteric nervous system and that gut-brain connection. So in addition to things like that, the gut is responsible for creating a lot of our neurotransmitters, so things like serotonin. And so if our gut is really strong, we can produce serotonin and we can assimilate it well. And this helps for things like mood and sleep regulation and just healthy digestion. But we see when our gut is not healthy, if it's inflamed, if someone has leaky gut, then we're not going to produce or absorb all that serotonin that we're producing. And that's going to lead to functional issues with our gut. So symptoms like constipation and bloating and diarrhea, and it can lead to anxiety and depression and fatigue and skin issues. So it is really important to support our gut nutritionally so we don't get to that point where we're having all these kind of things going on, because then it's really hard to kind of repair it. That being said, it can be repaired. And so to kind of get back to your original question, nutritionally, what it looks like, as far as things you would want that would kind of be worse for our gut, would be things like sugars and, any sugar sweetened foods and beverages. And then when we're talking about fats, we're really thinking about like manufactured fats. So things that cause fats that cause inflammation, especially like corn oil, safflower oil, those types of oils, you'll find 9 times out of 10 in any processed packaged food. So even things like crackers or from crackers to cakes, you'll find it in there. And those can also cause inflammation, which really negatively impact our gut. And then if we're thinking about things that are going to be beneficial for our gut, like I've mentioned, it's a lot of our fruits and vegetables, also legumes and nuts and seeds that have really great fiber. You can also think about fermented foods that actually inoculate the gut. And you can think about helping out your digestion with things like lemon water and apple cider vinegar. There's a variety of things there.
Yeah, that's fantastic. One of the things that I really wanted to dive into, but I wasn't sure if you had a take on this was dairy, because I know you talk a lot about just like plant-based, and for some people that means vegan, for some people it means something else. For me, plant-based is eating a lot of fruits and vegetables, but also incorporating herbs, and I definitely see a difference in, taking dairy out of a diet, or when I'm working with someone and they have certain symptoms, it's almost directly linked back to a lot of the time the dairy that they're consuming. So do you have any thoughts on dairy and nutrition?
Yeah, I mean, dairy can be is naturally kind of a more inflammatory food. It's just the effect it has on us and our hormones. And I mean, one of the considerations with dairy is the way it's raised. And so, all those hormones and even so the hormones that a cow might be injected with or the stress hormones it might accumulate from a lifetime of living in a feedlot, all those sort, and then, you know, the things it's fed, all of its life experiences and all the foods it's fed is going to impact the quality of the milk, and then the other dairy products. And so that's one consideration. You know, when it comes to dairy, you're better off if you can, if financially, things that are grass-fed, pasture-raised. You can also choose dairy products that are more easily digested. So things like aged cheese, which the aging process partially breaks down some of the proteins in the dairy, so it makes it a little bit easier for us. So my take for dairy is that if you are experiencing a lot of inflammatory type symptoms, and you are assuming, or someone is, you're seeing a doctor for repairing your gut, or you're, you know, experiencing some sort of gut issue, I would always recommend, for a time, taking out commonly inflammatory foods. So one of those being dairy. And this is really to allow your body the chance to heal your gut, so you can reintroduce things like dairy in appropriate amounts. And I say appropriate amounts because this is the other thing, like with in the US, I mean, I feel like every meal pretty much, like for the average American diet, can like have some sort of dairy product. And that's not, you know, necessarily what it's made for. It's kind of one of those things like to have more on a special occasion, you know, when you have like a nice cheese board before a meal or something like that, opposed to having it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and maybe even snack.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same way with that. And it is difficult because when you're socializing or you're going out, or if you were raised in an environment where that's kind of the habit, right? Getting out of some of those habits. But then that talks back to the intuitive strategies that you work with people on, and kind of breaking those other habits and being a little more mindful of what we're eating and when, which I really love, because we've had some people on the show that have talked about intuitive eating and kind of that slower mindful process. And it's still something that I think people struggle with because there's just so much going on a global scale. We've all turned inward to technology, which means we're always connecting, we're always on, and it's a lot harder to shut those things off and take the time to slow down. And some of the herbs actually that I wanted to mention that help with inflammation, for those out there that are looking for anything that will support your gut inflammation, also your mental health, is things like calendula, we've talked about on the show before, which is a really soft herb. Rose is another one, which is really fantastic. And you're looking at skin health as well when you're talking about gut health. Turmeric, which really, turmeric is one in the media that gets talked about for anti-inflammatory, but it actually has an affinity for the gut, and so the inflammation within the gut. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really fantastic one to incorporate into foods, or, you know, capsules if you had to. And then rosemary, I think, is one that is just a little underrated. We use it every so often on chicken and other things like that, but rosemary lemonade, rosemary tea is fantastic, which is really, really great. And so I'll be having a little herbal snippet here next week where we'll talk a little bit more about some of that stuff. But I wanted to get your take on the pillars for health. We usually ask guests this on the show, what their pillars of health are and what health really looks like for them.
Before that, I just wanted to add in to your herb talk there of how there are certain herbs that act as probiotics for our gut, or also prebiotics. So acting as like a fibrous type material to feed on. Mm-hmm. So things like you said, rosemary. So I think, is that your mint family rosemary technically?
It kind of does the same calming, soothing thing as like a mint would.
Gotcha. Yeah. So things like things in that family, rosemary, basil, thyme, are all great for the gut, including and things like garlic as well. Like, it's not just about the foods. It's kind of those additive flavors that also have a beneficial impact. And something that you hadn't mentioned was things like licorice. Licorice root is really great for soothing the gut and soothing the lining because it creates that coating. Also great for, you know, when you're having a cold and kind of have that upper in your throat sort of sensations as well. So, I mean, food is definitely one of them. That's very much at the center of my health. And to me, food is isn't just about, you know, fueling your needs biologically and for your activity, but it's also fueling that emotional component that comes to food. But I think one of the things that gets caught up when it comes to emotions about food, we typically immediately go for what those comfort foods, what we categorize comfort food as. And in reality, to me, those types of foods are really the ones that make us feel best. And so, you know, for me, that might look like morning tea with like some steamed milk, like things that are really soothing and calming and that make me feel great while I'm drinking it or while I'm eating the food or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then also after, because I think we get caught up in like, oh, you know, I'm really upset right now and I'm gonna go for something like a big bowl of ice cream. But in reality, we know, and we haven't thought that far ahead yet, thinking about like, what are the consequences gonna be? How am I gonna feel afterwards? And then that isn't really like feeding us in the sense of that emotional support, because then we feel like crap after.
Right.
So, absolutely. So one of those main pillars is about finding foods that feel really great in the body, kind of during and after, so that fuel our needs both physically and emotionally. And then one of my other pillars of health is definitely movement. And, you know, I do believe in moving every day and things like that. And I used to be a big kind of gym person every single day, especially in college. It's kind of what everyone did and, you know, was in a good routine and all that. But I did find that I always had trouble slowing down and being present in the moment, like in my everyday life. And I luckily found yoga in college because they had free, you know, free classes that came along with our tuition and stuff like that. So, you know, movement to me isn't just about having a vigorous exercise. It's about finding things that really are enjoyable. And so for me, that does mean something like weightlifting. I very much enjoy that. But I also enjoy swimming and I enjoy bike riding that I didn't pick up until this past year or two. And things like yoga. I just recently got into hot yoga as well. And so kind of my point here is finding movement that you find joy in, but also recognizing that that can change throughout your life. Because when I was in college, it was strictly pretty much going to the gym and yoga. And then later, after I got out of college, I got back into playing soccer and I was playing on a regular basis, 3 to 5 games a week. And then now it's, you know, because of COVID, like transformed into picking up biking, both road biking and mountain biking. And so you can change throughout your life and find things that suit you for the moment. And for example, right now, last year I experienced a knee injury and I was in a weightlifting routine and I was too scared up until recently to get back into the gym. And that's when I turned to alternative methods that not only I could physically do, but that made me feel great and made me feel, you know, all those happy kind of hormone feelings you feel after you move.
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's been a consensus on what we do here is just the things that work for you, the things that you enjoy that you'll continue to do. And also, you know, one of the things that I know you've mentioned on your Instagram is sleep is another one really dives into that.
Yeah. This is definitely another pillar of health. I mean, without good sleep, it really can wreak a lot of havoc on our lives. And this is something that I personally still struggle with and deal with. I've had insomnia ever since my first year ever since I was in my bachelor program. I think it started because of being in school, being highly stressed and all that. And it's something that's continued and it continues to rear its head at random times. And I'm actually going through a bout right now. And, you know, insomnia is a funny thing because people see insomnia as like, oh, so you just like never sleep. And it's not about never sleeping. And I'm sure that that's true for some people, but insomnia is also about laying there and kind of zoning out to the point that you feel like you're asleep, but like you're not actually asleep. It's a really hard sensation to explain.
Right.
But, you know, so sleep is very important, and it can be very draining to your adrenal glands. It can be very stressful on the body. And so this is something that is very important to me and that I actively work towards. And if anything, I think it's like I can be an example of the fact that, like, yes, I can be a nutritionist and be very aware of the science behind all this and how to improve this and that, but it's an active practice to have the nutrition right, to have the movement right, and to have the sleep right. You know, it's all something that you're working at all the time, and it's never it on most likely it's not going to be perfect all the time. And but it is important to find those strategies and to find things that work for you, and honestly give yourself the grace when you are going through a period where maybe you aren't sleeping well, or maybe you aren't able to do movement for a period of time, accepting that, but then maybe staying strong in the other places in your life that you can stay strong in to kind of keep you in that in a healthy state.
Yeah, that's why I'm so excited for us to actually work together. You will be working with me on my new ambassador program that I'm doing, reaching out and connecting with people in the community and the fitness and holistic health and nutrition that want to work with me on incorporating herbs into their daily lifestyle. That, my whole brand and some of the things I do, which is just making it more easily accessible for people to incorporate those herbs. And I love that you mentioned licorice root before, because that's actually the one that we'll do a little snippet on next week, because that and marshmallow root are fantastic for coating the gut lining. And they make a huge difference just by, having tea in the morning with them. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm really excited to work with you and see what we can do maybe about some of that insomnia. That'll be really neat.
Yeah, I'm really excited to try everything out. And if I ha if, to my knowledge, your company, you do like a health kind of questionnaire. Do you do that just with ambassadors, or do you do that with other people, that are purchasing your products?
Yeah, so as an herbalist, I go through a health questionnaire because I'm more energetic focused. And so it's a little bit of a mix of like Ayurvedic medicine and more holistic herbalism. And what it allows me to do is to really see what type of body type and what herbs would connect. Like you mentioned garlic before for gut health, which can definitely be helpful for your gut. But then if there are certain people that have too much heat or too much moisture in their gut, and I would figure that out through the questionnaire and through some of those lifestyle questions, then I'm able to steer them away from garlic and give them a different herb that might have some of the same effects, but not over or exacerbate some other symptom that they might have. And so it's really good to be working with an herbalist who has a little more kind of mindfulness around some of those things. And yeah, I always work with all clients and ask them to do a questionnaire beforehand, because there is a lot of marketing out there and a lot of things on Instagram that are shiny and colorful and look really good on a countertop. Some of the herbs they have in there might not work.
Yeah, and that's what I why I'm really excited to work with your company, because there is much more of a holistic, individualized concept that you're doing, and I haven't personally come across this before, like from a mainly like tea and herbal company that is actually taking into consideration like their customers' needs. I think that sets you apart from people. But not only that, like it's going to be really beneficial for people to have something that's more curated for them, so it is more personalized. And because in reality, we're not all experts on, whether we have the hot and cold Ayurvedic stuff. I'm not familiar with all that, that familiar. So, to have someone actually take the time and to look at that for me and be able to make recommendations. I mean, I feel like you're getting a lot of bang for your buck there.
Like I said, this is why I wanted to come on and talk about brain health and gut health and nutrition with you. And I'm so excited. You have such great information on your Instagram page and some of the things you put out.
You.
And how can people find you if they're looking for you on Instagram?
So my handle is at Busy Bee Nutrition, just like it sounds, Busy Bee Nutrition. I do have a link tree in my bio that has some links to my one-on-one programs, and then also has some links to information from my weekly wellness buzz. So every Monday, I'm going live with other wellness practitioners, including yourself, in a week or two. But yeah, I get on there with wellness practitioners and then also like wellness advocates to talk about all sorts of different topics. So I'm in there live on Monday nights, and then you can rewatch the recordings under my videos on my Instagram. And then if during the talk, if we mention any kind of resources, I put it in my link tree if people are interested in going to those resources.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Excited to be on and to discuss some of that stuff, because there's so much behind herbal tea blending if you really get into the phytochemistry of each plant and really look at that. So I'm excited for that. And I was so grateful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Blair. And thank everybody else for joining us today. And we will see you next time.